Friday afternoon in New York City. The weather, by the way, and this doesn't just apply to the Mets tonight at Citi Field, where God knows how many people are going to show up. There isn't $5 beer, so who knows? But even for those driving down the I-95 area to go to Baltimore, it's supposed to rain tonight in both places.
I know.
So it's a very iffy night if you are making the trip down to Baltimore. Now, the good news is if you're going down to Baltimore and you're doing a weekend, okay, no harm, no foul. Game gets rained out, you hit up Pickle's Pub, you hit up the Inner Harbor, you have a good night, as long as you're able to then go Saturday, right? So at least you get a game in.
Yeah.
And potentially Sunday. The Met thing, I mean, it's different because you schlep your way to a ballpark, and then you schlep your way home, and really it doesn't turn into anything. So the last I've seen from both forecasts is that it's supposed to rain, but the one thing I've learned this in my time here on radio, and certainly my time with Big Mac, Louie, and Craig back in the day.
At Yankee Stadium when you told the entire Hard Rock that there was no reason to worry and that there was not going to rain and we were going to play baseball that night, and then I was there till like 11:45 at night?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a loser.
That was the example.
That was the example, yeah.
I no longer make predictions on rainouts or this game's going to happen.
Yeah.
So what I will tell you is we will be your public service. I will give you forecasts, and we will give you any information that come our way concerning tonight's Yankees-Orioles game and tonight's Mets-Rockies game. Speaking of the Mets, we'll get back to your calls. A lot of Yankee fans all pumped and nervous all at the same time as they get set for the Baltimore Orioles. But the Mets completed a sweep of the Washington Nationals yesterday afternoon. It was awesome. David Peterson delivered 6 scoreless innings. Mm-hmm. The Mets broke through with 5 runs in the 5th inning. Great victory. 2 games above 500, now tied for a wild card spot. We all know that, right? It's been almost 24 hours. But there was something that happened after the game. And you tell me, Big Mac, this is as unique a thing as I've seen in a very long time. Brandon Nimmo was doing the post-game interview on the field with Steve Gelps.
Yep.
And Brandon Nimmo was talking about the team, and he was talking about how well they're playing. And then he said this.
You know, we want to be buyers at the end of this month, and we think that we've got a great team here. So, you know, I think it's a good spot to be in, and, you know, let's just keep playing good baseball.
I don't know if I've ever heard a player as openly as that come out and say, especially for a team that could go either way.
Right.
Not an obvious team like the Yankees. The Yankees are obviously buyers.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard that kind of declaration from a player in which he basically put it all on the table to David Stearns and Steve Cohen and said, we better be buyers.
I can't ever remember being, I'm trying to think, like a direct question and saying, well, I hope so because I think the team is good, maybe.
He was not asked about being buyers, by the way.
He was not asked. Yeah. He's just, I mean, listen, and you say laying it on the table, this is a guy, like I am fascinated by what Nimmo has become here. I got to admit. Now, listen, he's a good player who earned a very nice contract. He was good before this year. He's been a sabermetrics kind of guy that everybody loves. High on base. I'm not trying to diminish what he was prior to this year. But when I thought of Brandon Nimmo, I thought of a nice little player who worked his tail off to become a better center fielder than I thought he ever could be. But pretty much a kind of guy known for running the first base off a walk and a nice little player who probably earned more money than most people would have expected, to the point now where this dude is on pace for 30 home runs, 110 or 15 RBIs, hitting game-winning doubles in the gap, and then coming out on the postgame and saying, hey, Stearns, you better buy because we're too good to just sit idly by. Yeah. I cannot believe what this dude has become. I love it. I absolutely love the nerve and the balls to just, because you're right, they're on the table. There's discussion about buying and selling at the same time. What do they do? And this goes back to last year's trade deadline when they traded away Robertson a little earlier than maybe some players were expecting.
I was stunned by it.
Yeah, right? And then especially the clip I remember the most was Pete Alonso when they were told it was like 2 AA ball players who aren't going to help them for 5 years. And he was like, I'm sure. I guess that's what we got. Like, he was so befuddled, he thought he might actually get someone that could help them in the next year or something. So, and then it goes to spring training, and the Met players have one message all of spring. We're better than you think. We're better than you think.
Right.
We're better than you think. That's all they said. And so they have made a conscious effort to, and specifically Nimmo, to go out there and, I don't know, it makes me think that they're afraid of the direction of this team. And the way the man from Milwaukee, as you call it, is like trying to, you know, shape the organization in
his image. It makes me wonder if, you know, these rumors that we see, you know, the Jim Bowdens of the world writing, well, I've heard Houston talk to the Mets about Pete Alonso and Luis Severino. Now, he also said that Pete Alonso is essentially off the table.
Right.
So that was also written in the article. But you wonder, if Brandon Nimmo, who is on social media and decided to post a lot recently about the recent success, God bless you, if he sees these things and the players see these things, and so that's where that kind of thought comes from.
Yeah.
It comes from the idea of, wait, I'm hearing these rumblings, rumors or whatnot, that we could actually sell players off. And here's the important thing to remember about this. Everybody's got a price, like the $1 million man once said. It really does. So in this fictitious universe, and this is very fictitious, but I do want to lay it out to you, where a team called up and offered the Mets some kind of godfather prospect offer for J.D. Martinez or Pete Alonso, I admit it becomes a more difficult decision for David Stearns. Like, oh, my God, you're going to offer me. That deal's not out there, by the way.
Right, I get you. I get you.
But I want to present to you where
it could be different. Is there a scenario at all?
Right. It's not likely, but if that offer was made, you're David Stearns, as difficult as it is, you have to make a decision that's in the best interest of business and the best interest of the franchise, okay? Which could mean doing something that would alienate your fan base, but based on this comment, alienate your locker room.
Yeah.
So for those, and I've spoken to them, I did a lot of this on the Rico last night, of Met fans who have suggested we can compete while trading Pete Alonso. We are better if we trade Pete Alonso, which I think is lunacy.
Yeah.
But keep this little factor in mind. And I'm not saying it's the end-all be-all, but I'm saying it's a factor.
Yep.
Keep in mind, if you go to Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor, the leaders of this team, and you tell them, we've traded Pete Alonso for Joey Loperfido and a double-A prospect, it's not going to go over well. And you wonder what that kind of does to a locker room. This is not fantasy baseball, which I did last year, right? Lugie will tell you, I sold guys and I competed. You want to know why? Because there's no pulse with fantasy baseball.
Right.
It's just stats. It's just guys. But in this world where there's a room, you need to be careful. And I think what a comment like this reminds you is that this is not simply strategic, but we can trade him and get this.
Yeah.
It's, what do you think it does to that room if you did take a key piece away?
No, I'm with you, and I don't think Cohen is the owner we thought he was. If that happens, I'll be totally honest with you, because everything he's done is to appease the Met fan, talking about winning. And let's be honest, and this isn't, you know, the Brian Cashman Yankee fan trying to be condescending. Let's just be fair. This is special. And seasons where you make the playoffs, right now, we talk about it, the Met fans celebrate on back-to-back playoff appearances. It's rare in Met history. And the idea, these teams, and this, and what's going on right now with Grimace, and as much as silly as I think it is, and the OMG concert, which is silly as I thought that was.
What about Lugie's positivity?
The Lugie's positivity.
What about, oh my God. What about my beard being gone?
Well, clearly, all these things are factors, no doubt. No doubt about it. The future has spoken, and he's positive. And this team, there's something.
It's garbage that you're even considering cutting your beard.
Shut up, Pete!
But this is a special thing happening right now. And if you trade away Pete Alonso and you give and you say, like, because there's no way to peddle the other nonsense. You're right. This would be to the fans, to the team. We're more interested in the future than we are winning right now. That's bottom line. And that I get it. But saying that to the team, saying that to the fan base, while they are having as much fun as I don't know if I've ever seen this team have more fun than what they're doing right now. And the fans are rallying around it. And maybe it's partially while the Yankees are collapsing. But like all of it rolled into one. Right now, this is as much fun and as much excitement around a Met team as I can remember in a long time. And to stifle that and to throw a wet blanket on that by trading Pete Alonso for future prospects would be absolutely mind-numbing.
It would have to make it a discussion. Because you got to like factor a lot of things in. If you're geeky like me and my wife, when we make big decisions, you put a chart together, the pros and the cons list, right?
Sure.
Some of us do that. There are pros and cons to making deals. The only way you could trade, and I want to include J.D. Martinez in this because he's the other big bat who could be appealing who's on an expiring contract.
Right.
The only way you could make a move like that that would be so damaging to your locker room and damaging to your playoff chances is the return would have to be stupid. It would have to be such a good return that the pros column just outweighs the cons of the fact that you're setting your locker room on fire. Now imagine what kind of package that would have to be. It would have to be a very big package. Now, with that said, one thing I am open to, and I know you are not,
yes,
so you may disagree with me on this, is I am open, and I would, by the way, I'd be a very vocal general manager. I would speak to my players about this so they understand where I'm coming from. I just wouldn't make a deal and have them be surprised. I'd be a very communicable general manager.
Communicable.
Communicable. Yep. That's right. Strategery. I would be open to taking a starting pitcher on an expiring deal and moving that guy for bullpen help or for prospects when then I'm trading other prospects to get myself bullpen help. We call it strategic buying and selling all at the same time. I'd be open to that. Now, is it robbing Peter to pay Paul? Maybe to a degree.
Yep.
Or maybe you look at the pros and cons column and say, I want bullpen help, but I don't want to do it at the cost of big-time prospects in a year in which I'm just a few games above 500. So I'd rather do it at the cost of a guy who's on an expiring one-year deal who's probably not a part of my future anyway, a la Sean Manaea, Luis Severino, and Jose Quintana. I'm open to it. Doesn't mean I have to do it, but I'll tell you right now, if the Houston Astros want to have a conversation, and they are offering me Brian Abreu or Ryan Pressly, and you all know who they are. They're key relievers in the Astro bullpen.
Yeah.
And I've got to deal one of my starting pitchers for them.
Yeah.
I am very interested in that trade.
I have a real problem with it to assume you have strengths in places where, honestly, I think one of the flaws of this Met team, if you are talking about moving forward and winning, is you don't have a top-of-the-rotation starter. In my mind. I mean, we'll see what Senga is. And to just assume because, you know, Christian Scott's come up and pitched well, or you've gotten three good starts out of Quintana, and Manaea's been okay, that you think you have this luxury of trading away Severino, I don't agree with that assessment. I understand your point that the bullpen is such an area of concern. I'm not sure I would take that risk, and I'm not sure that that trade is out there. If you say it is, I understand I'm open to it, and the trade deadline is so freaking fickle right now. Maybe there is a point where there are so many buyers and so few sellers that teams are forced to make these type of moves to pay, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul, because there aren't enough teams looking to make prospect deals, or like there's some sort of like weird trade deadline where there's nobody out there looking to actually sell, and it's just for a couple of relievers, that I'm open to it. I'm open to it. But you've got to show me that I am vastly improving my bullpen, and that I just hate the idea of the way Severino's pitching.
Big Mac.
And we know how important the starting pitchers are in a playoff series.
But see, here's the pro-con column. I want to eat my cake, and I want to have it, too.
Yeah.
Did I use that correctly, by the way?
Eat it, too.
I want to eat it, too. I want
have my cake and eat it, too.
I want to eat it. I want to have it. I want to throw it on your face. I want all of that cake.
It's weird.
And so I see a Met team that is rebuilding-ish, right? Not fully rebuilding, but they're transitioning. Yeah. Hold on a second. Hear me out.
All right.
I'd rather use a guy who is probably gone at the end of the year.
I understand that.
As the piece to get me a top reliever than prospects.
No doubt.
You think I want to trade prospects for a reliever in a year in which I'm two games above 500? Not interested in it. I'd rather use the Manaea, Severino, Quintanas of the world. And by the way, Met fans, do me a favor. And this goes to Beningo, who I love, and I've told him this. We got to stop falling in love with Luis Severino. We have to. And if you need a reminder on why you shouldn't fall in love with him, just enjoy him for now.
Yeah.
Consider it a one-night stand. Ask Yankee fans. He's not reliable. Like, all of a sudden, you want to give this guy a long-term contract? I can't tell you how many Met fans have told me that. Well, we got to keep him. We got to keep some starting pitchers, and you want to keep him. The guy who has been so unreliable over the last 5 years. I was as big of a Severino fan as there was in terms of bringing him in. And you know why? Because it was a one-year deal. That's why. Now, all of a sudden, we're in love?
No.
Fall out of love. It's a one-night stand.
This has nothing to do with me about the future with Severino. I agree with you. This has nothing to do with it. It's about this team. And my point about the trade deadline is the Astros would rather trade prospects, than trade away pieces that they're trying to compete with.
I'm
you know what I'm saying? Like, the idea that, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, of course, you would rather not trade prospects. But every other team doesn't want to trade away. The Astros aren't looking to give away, you know, bullpen when to acquire. They want to have their bullpen. They want to have their cake and eat it, too.
But they may
prefer. You're not the only one doing that.
But they may prefer. But Lugie's in love with Severino. Aren't you in love with Severino? You want to give him a long-term contract? 9-year deal? That's what I heard.
A 9-year deal?
I heard positive give him. Tommy wants to give him a 9-year deal.
Not a 9-year deal, but if he pitches well, this was Severino's side of this on the 1-year deal. If he pitches well, he's going to get a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
He's pitching well. Give it to him. He's still young. He's got good stuff. He knows the market. And I, like I've told you, Evan, I want to buy here. I'm not in the mood to sell. I don't want to half buy, half sell.
Yes.
I want the Mets to be aggressive.
Yep.
They need to be a team that gets to the postseason year in and year out to build their brand.
But I think it's a different conversation. When you get to the offseason, and if he's still there, then we can have the discussion on whether or not you want to keep Severino. The reason why I don't want to trade him is because I want to win this year.
Well,
I'm not worried about next year when I give him a contract.
See, I want to do both. That's where I'm at as a Met fan. I see what he's saying. Lugie's saying I want to buy.
Yes.
I'm not there. I want to buy smartly. I want to buy strategically. And here's the proof that I will be right about this. Not right. I don't want to use that word. I will be what the Mets intend to do. And that doesn't mean right. It's you disagree with it, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
In 2022, when they were on their way to a 100-win season, they didn't want to give up prospects. And think about what they bought and what they gave up. And that was the year to go for it. Yeah. You had Scherzer. You had DeGrom. I was with you on be more aggressive and go for it. And they wouldn't even do it then.
Right.
So I wouldn't do it now with this team.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. My thing is, I think the lineup is elite. I think it's special.
Yeah.
I think they prove that night in, night out. The rotation, especially since Big Al Alvarez came back, has been awesome.
Yeah.
The one weak part is the bullpen. If the bullpen levels up, this team can go places. So why not use assets to improve your weak point? And then we're having a different conversation
right.
of what the Mets can do.
Because if you want to be the sustained winner you describe, using key prospects to trade for bullpen help is not wise. Like, it's just not the wisest. Now, ultimately, here's your trump card, and you can use it when you want. But if they win the World Series, does it matter?
No, of course not.
Of course not. Of course, I'd admit that.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't necessarily go that aggressive.
I just don't see these, like, severing. I mean, you could give me a handful of trades throughout history at the deadline where you're trading a one-year. You're limited to finding the Astros. You are limited to finding the team that's trying to contend. Like, you can't trade them to the Marlins. Why would they want to?
No, but you
like,
can't.
You're trying to thread a needle of finding a team who could use. You have one team. You have the Astros. Maybe the Orioles. You're trying to.
Cleveland could use a starting pitcher. Would they trade me one of their relievers? See, here's why you can't use history. And I'm a big fan of history, too. There's three wild cards now. It's a different world.
That's
you even said it. This trade deadline is so unique in that there are so many teams that are on the fence.
Right.
Now, luckily, I think the Mets did a great job of getting the Nationals off the fence.
Yeah.
Like, it's likely Dylan Floro, Kyle Finnegan, Jesse Winker, take your pick. Those guys would be available. But I think because we live in a unique universe in baseball, that there will be more trades of, hey, this is a need-for-need deal. You're right. That used to never happen.
Yeah,
but they're
also an off-season trade.
Right, but we also don't live in the world anymore where there's less playoff teams. Let's go to some of your calls. Let me go to Steve in Nanuet. What's up, Steve?
Hey, I'm sorry, guys. I was waiting to get...
You have made it, sir. What's up?
Yeah. Evan, I wanted to counter something to you. If it wasn't you that said it yesterday, I apologize. Somebody was talking about how Rondon can't pitch with the pressure in New York.
That was me. So you've got the right guy. I am now convinced he can't handle this city, but go ahead and counter it.
All right. Well, I wanted to just get your opinion. I disagree with you respectfully.
Okay.
For 2.5 months, which is certainly no small sample size, you're talking 14 starts. He was pitching at like a 2.8 or a 2.9 ERA.
Yes.
And I would say if there's going to be any pressure, after a disastrous last season, I think there would have been no more bigger pressure than his first start this year. Make with that monkey on his back, maybe even the first few starts. And now I'm talking 2.5 months he pitched with like a 2.9, mm-hmm. if I have it correctly, ERA. Yep. So I agree something's going on with Rondon, obviously. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. I just don't see it with the information I gave you
so
as him not being able to pitch in New York.
Let me counter that. And this is a very inexact science. And I'm usually not one to jump to the he can't pitch in New York conclusion.
Yep.
And I'm curious to get Big Mac's opinion on this. It all started to go to hell in Boston against the Red Sox. And that scares the hell out of me. That it was in Boston at Fenway Park, where say what you want about Red Sox, Yankees, it's still Red Sox, Yankees. And I feel like that start was the beginning of the end for him. Because he followed it by getting bombed against Atlanta. He followed it by the bad luck game against Toronto. He followed it by being, you know, mediocre against Cincinnati. And he followed it with what we just saw against Tampa Bay. So this kind of steamroll of struggle began.
Yeah.
In what is still one of the most pressurized situations if you're a Yankee player, and that's pitching at Fenway Park. And so I think also the way he acts, the I'm crying, I'm mad,
100%.
I'm yelling at the manager, like,
yep.
I look at all of those things, and it just reeks of a guy that's melting under the pressure.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And to add to your point, his one bad start in that first half was against Baltimore, the battling for
that
the division.
That is right. That is
so
right.
So I'll add that to it. But that's not my concern. My concern isn't his start against Baltimore. My concern necessarily is his start against Boston. My concern is the minute the ball gets rolling in the wrong direction, he has zero ability to stop it.
And that's a big part of it.
That's the thing. Yes, he had a great start to the year, no doubt. But whether we've seen it when he came back and when he finally got healthy last year, he had some bad starts. He had the blown kiss to the fans. He could never get it going. This year he got it going. He was pitching well, things were going well. The second it turned, it's over. And the second a ground ball hits first base where the first baseman doesn't make the play,
that's it.
He can't adjust. He can't overcome. And his body language sucks. And you're right. In that start, I think it was the one in Toronto, maybe even the one before it, he is a roller coaster of emotion. He gets, after the first inning, he gives up a bunch of runs in the first inning. He's in the dugout screaming. Then he gets taken out of the game. Gleyber Torres, of all people, have to put his arm around him, and he's covering his face with his hat. Mm. And now I don't get on people necessarily for being emotional. It's just like you're screaming, you're crying, and then in the post game, he's sad. Like it's too much of a roller coaster of emotion. And when the ball gets rolling in the wrong direction, because his fastball is, I saw a stat the other day about his last game, which was mind-numbing to me. The exit velocity of his fastballs going out was 99, average between 99 and 106 miles an hour. His fastball was getting tattooed, and yet Major League Baseball ranked it as the best fastball of the day of all Major League starting pitching. When you talk about movement, when you talk about velocity, he had the best fastball in Major League Baseball that night, and his exit velocity was still 99 to 100.
Right.
Like there's something about it where he can't overcome once it gets rolling in the wrong direction. So you want to call it New York, you want to call it the pressure, whatever the case may be, this dude, when things are going great, fine. But the second he hits adversity, he has a real tough time with it.
I like to offer solutions. So you and I agree on this, that we both think the pressure New York City is getting to him. As the great Clint Capello once said, what you going to do about it?
Right.
And the only thing the New York Yankees can do right now, I hate to say this, is pitch him every 5 days.
No doubt.
Now, could there come a moment where he's unpitchable? Last year, Luis Severino was unpitchable.
Mm-hmm.
We all agreed you cannot pitch him anymore. That may happen. We're not there yet. He's going to pitch that Sunday game, that 11:30 a.m. game on Sunday, which I think me and Big Mac love, by the way.
Love early morning baseball, nothing better.
I think it should become permanent.
I love it.
Every Sunday baseball game should be at 10 a.m. I'm petitioning the government.
Done.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, and then especially when September rolls around, play every game at 9 a.m. right into football.
I'm with you. 9 a.m. baseball.
Let's do it.
And me and you have young kids. We love it. Lugie and Rosie, they don't have kids. Yeah. They probably hate it without even uttering a phrase. I know Lugie, who wakes up at like 2 in the afternoon, hates it. It's the worst idea he's ever heard.
I know. I heard him complaining about the train. I'm like, what happened to waking up at 1:55 and walking over here? I guess that all went out the window.
Now I'm like every poor schmuck, and I got to run to Penn Station to get the train to Kew Gardens.
But I think you pitch Carlos Rodon every 5 days.
No doubt.
And then during the offseason, it may have to be one of those deals where you pay off the deal to trade him away. But that's not something you worry about right now.
Mm.
But I definitely have the indication you do, too. He just can't handle it.
No, I'm very concerned about Rodon. I'm less concerned about Heal and his, whether he's tired or not. That doesn't bother me as much, especially his last start made me feel better. I even think Stroman's just going through, is going through his moments, but I don't think New York is a concern for him. I'm not really concerned about any other starter. Rodon scares the hell out of
me. Evan and Tiki, by the way, Tiki out today. He's back on Monday. I'll tell you why I hate this weather more than anything in the world. I get along so well with my beautiful wife. We have such a great relationship. Like you do with your wife.
Absolutely.
But as you know, there's one issue. I don't know what it is with you and your wife. There's that one kind of rivalry that you have.
Oh, okay.
By listening to the Lou Gower, I have discovered that his big issue is the toilet seat.
Yeah, he says that a lot.
Is that a fair assessment, Tommy?
It's on the list.
Yeah.
It's on the list. My biggest issue with my wife is she just orders too much off Amazon.
I thought it was going to be talking with your mouthful.
Loogie! I'm having a snack and he threw
He wanted to make you feel like it was the old days. Like Craig was here. See, my list is only one thing. Like, am I bragging, but me and my wife get along very, very well. There is just one thing that we butt heads on.
I thought the issue was something you joke about a lot, including during your stand-up.
Which is what?
The length.
Careful.
Yes, exactly.
My son is here.
I'm aware. That's why I tried to give you the hint with the
jokes
about stand-up.
No. First of all, that's not true. That was called stand-up.
Oh, sure. Okay.
That was called creative licensing.
If you say so. I think most people believed it.
When you're talking about things that you think about during those intimate moments.
To help a problem.
Right.
Right.
Well, that is not an issue.
But the problem might be the problem. I don't know.
That is not an issue me and my wife.
All right, I'm sorry.
We have one issue, one rivalry, and that issue is a temperature issue. It is a major, major, major issue.
Yeah.
And it really rears its ugly head. It's all the time, but mostly during the summer, because I will come home and I will look at the thermostat and it will say 76 degrees.
Right.
And I will be agitated.
Yeah.
And I will say, honey, it's the freaking summer.
Yeah.
In my opinion, there shouldn't be a 7 as the first digit. But I've learned how to compromise that I have learned to live with 73.
Uh-huh.
But even that's too hot.
Yeah,
she's a moron too. Hey, I wasn't talking about my wife in that clip, okay? Delete it. So this is the one issue that doesn't go away. And vice versa, by the way. So we've done a lot of driving during the summer.
Sure.
I'm pumping up the air conditioning.
Yep.
Major complaints. I'm telling you, there's nothing else. It's not Met Games.
Yeah.
It's not Love Life.
Yeah.
It's not raising our beautiful children.
Yeah.
It is strictly a temperature fight.
Yep.
To where I've installed private air conditioning units in every room so that she can keep it hot and I can make it cold just for me.
Yeah.
What is your one rivalry issue with your wife?
Oh, one.
Really? You're like Lukey? You've got a whole list?
Well, I mean, not a whole list, but not.
I feel very fortunate there.
I think we share this. We have the same problem. In fact, the other day we got into an argument about it.
What?
Because I agree with you. I think I've established 72, right around 73.
Oh my God, I'd sign for 72.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, we've established that. But what bothers me, what we got into an argument about, she's going to kill me for this. But what we got into an argument about is she'll walk into the room and go, it's freezing in here, and get mad at me. And I'm just like, go change it. Like when I was hot, I didn't walk into the room and go to you, it's hot in here. I just went and adjusted the thermostat to change the temperature because I was hot. We get into it though. But yeah, that's a
good
one.
So you have the same issue.
Oh, definitely. She hates how I like it much colder than the house than she does.
Is that
definitely
a guy girl issue, a man woman issue?
Yeah, maybe.
100%.
Yeah.
Girls tend to like it hotter and they tend to get colder.
Some like it hot
easier. And guys, we schwitz, we get hotter quicker.
Yeah, most certainly.
I have the same thing with my wife, but it's more of an energy thing. She doesn't want us to run the air conditioning for the energy bill, and then I point to the Amazon bill, and then she points to making more money than me, and I shut up. That's really how the conversation goes at the Lugauer house.
Well, first of all, that is the worst place an argument can go.
Yeah.
One thing I've learned about an argument is it's got to stick with the argument. And you could say the same thing on Sports Talk Radio, right?
Right, right.
Let's just stick with what we're arguing about.
Right.
Let's not turn it into 15 other things.
Yeah.
But if you are arguing with your significant other, that is the most important thing.
Right.
You got to keep to the argument, because if it veers off into other areas, you're driving off the road. I'm telling you right now.
No, definitely. You can't. And that's, that's typical of, the arguments will sometimes, you'll do something that you'll make a joke, or I make jokes, we do things, and you can tell, I wasn't sure I was going to go over, but it went over pretty good. I got a laugh out of it. It seemed, in the moment, pretty good. And then, 3 weeks later, in the middle of an argument, and she'll be like, well, and then on top of it, you did that. And I'm like, you laughed when I did that. And she'll be like, well, it's not funny right now. I didn't really, I was appeasing you. That's the kind of thing. But so, yeah, you want to stay on track.
You know what made me bring this up? There was something that happened during the last commercial break that actually made me think about this temperature war that I have, and I guess everybody has.
Yeah.
My son is with me. Jet came to the show today. We're going to the Met game tonight. Should be a lot of fun. And Jet looks up at me. I'm like, you doing all right? Everything all right? He's like, I am freezing.
Yeah.
Can I have a blanket? So I'm like, yeah, no problem. I look at the temperature, which I control, right?
Yeah.
If my wife is listening, she's going to crack up. I have completely abused this studio.
Oh.
It is 64 degrees inside the studio.
I even said it's a little bit chilly, but I like it. I'm all about it.
Yeah, because
I sweat like a maniac.
Because what we're doing is we love our wives.
Right.
This is our way to kind of lash out.
Yeah.
I'll give you a great example. Jet, who's not listening because he has headphones on, is not allowed to say something about his brother, which is that he is a baby, because that bothers him.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You want to do it on the air? You can get it out of your system. But he always says,
that's a great offer.
Spence is a baby, Spence is a baby. He gets in a lot of trouble. So we tell him, you can't do it. Like, serious issue. Like, dude, you're going to go to sleep early.
Yeah.
We're going to take all this stuff away, wrestling figures away. Oh,
yep.
He always falls into the trap. So we're at work today. Spence isn't around. And I'm like, you can let it out. If you want to get it out of your system, kid, let it all out. Right. And so he's been spent. So you want to do it on the radio? Will that make you feel better?
No.
Wow.
Oh, look at that. Taking the high road.
He loves his brother.
There you go. Clearly.
He also knows mommy's listening.
Yeah, oh, he'd be in trouble.
What a good kid.
That's
what a great, yeah, you know what?
What a very good kid, even though the past 10 minutes, you guys have not done a good job in inspiring me to get married. All you're doing is just complaining and complaining. What are you doing?
That's not true.
That's
I said me and my wife get along about everything except for one issue. Yeah. That should make you...
This is intimacy, pal. This is what it's about. It's about the good, the bad.
Yes.
It's about
you guys are cherry-picking
sharing
the bad
a life
stuff.
With someone.
No.
Well, because it's funnier than the good stuff.
Yeah, you want us to talk about how much we get along?
Yeah.
Well, you should pick one thing.
I still can't believe Jet turned down the opportunity to call his little brother a baby on the radio.
That's a great and I job. Still can't believe your house is at 73 degrees. That's
73? It's like 76, bro.
I mean, that's what you do to people if you want to get information out of them. That's like torture. It's summer. It's 100 degrees out.
That's absurd.
That's kind of what it is. 73, 74. That's kind of where we keep it. I like it colder, but that's kind of where we, every once in a while, like that's, she'll walk into a room after being home from work, especially now with these new hours when I'm home during the day, and she'll walk in and she's like, "What? It's freezing in here." I'm like, and go raise it. I'm going to lose this argument. Just go do it. Go make it 74. That's okay.
Let's go to Mark on Long Island. How you doing today, Mark?
What's up, guys?
What's up, Mark?
I wanted to talk about how the Yankee style of play had changed earlier in the season for the better, and now they've regressed back into jump on the first pitch. Nobody's moving on bases. I mean, do we remember that Volpe was stealing bases earlier in the year?
But do we remember that Volpe was on base earlier this year? Like, he's not on base anymore. Isn't that part of the problem?
Mm-hmm. Not only that, they're down four and five runs every game. You're not going to be stealing bases when you're down four and five runs at every turn.
But how about the jumping on the first pitch? Yeah. How frustrating is it when they come up and they just, everyone, first pitch, boom, work a pitcher a little bit.
A couple of things about that. So let's start with the stolen base thing, because obviously that got a lot of attention. Yankees had gone how many games in a row without a stolen
21.
Base?
21.
The New York Yankees right now, so take John Birdie out because he's not on the roster, he's hurt, literally have one guy that steals bases.
Yeah.
One guy.
Yeah.
And that's Anthony Volpe.
Yep.
Anthony Volpe is struggling. His on-base percentage is down to .303. Like, he's not the guy he was in April.
Nope.
And in April, he was stealing base. Is the toilet seat.
Yeah, he says that a lot.
Is that a fair assessment, Tommy?
It's on the list.
Yeah.
It's on the list.
It's on the list. My biggest issue with my wife is she just orders too much off Amazon.
I thought it was going to be talking with your mouth full.
Loogie! I'm having a snack and he threw
He wanted to make you feel like it was the old days.
Yeah.
Like Craig was here. See, my list is only one thing. Like, am I bragging, but me and my wife get along very, very well. There's just one thing that we butt heads on.
I thought the issue was something you joke about a lot, including during your stand-up.
Which is what?
The length.
Careful.
Yes, exactly.
My son is here.
I'm aware. That's why I tried to give you the hint with the jokes.
No. First of all, that's not true. That was called stand-up.
Oh, sure. Okay.
That was called creative licensing.
If you say so. I think most people believed it.
When you're talking about things that you think about during those intimate moments.
To help a problem.
Right.
Right.
Well, that is not an issue.
But the problem might be the problem. I don't know.
That is not an issue me and my wife
have. All right, I'm sorry.
We have one issue, one rivalry, and that issue is a temperature issue. It is a major, major, major issue.
Yeah.
And it really rears its ugly head. It's all the time, but mostly during the summer, because I will come home and I will look at the thermostat and it will say 76 degrees.
Right.
And I will be agitated.
Yeah.
And I will say, honey, it's the freaking summer.
Yeah.
There should, in my opinion, there shouldn't be a 7 as the first digit. But I've learned how to compromise that I have learned to live with 73.
Uh-huh.
But even that's too hot.
Yeah,
she's a moron too. Hey, I wasn't talking about my wife in that clip, okay? Delete it. So this is the one like issue that doesn't go away. And vice versa, by the way. So we've done a lot of driving during the summer.
Sure.
I'm pumping up the air conditioning.
Yep.
Major complaints. I'm telling you, there's nothing else. It's not Met games.
Yeah.
It's not love life.
Yeah.
It's not raising our beautiful children.
Yeah.
It is strictly a temperature fight.
Yep.
To where I've installed private air conditioning units in every room so that she can keep it hot and I can make it cold just for me.
Yeah.
What is your one rivalry issue with your wife?
Oh, one.
Really? You're like Luki? You've got a whole list?
Well, I mean, not a whole list, but not. I think we share this. We have the same problem. In fact, the other day we got into an argument about it.
What?
Because I agree with you. I think I've established like 72, right around 73.
Oh my God, I'd sign for 72.
Yeah,
oh.
No, we've established that. But what bothers me, we got into an argument about, she's going to kill me for this, but what we got into an argument about is she'll walk into the room and go, it's freezing in here, and get like mad at me. And I'm just like, go change it. Like when I was hot, I didn't walk into the room and go to you, it's hot in here. I just went and adjusted the thermostat to change the temperature because I was hot. Like, so like we get into it though. But yeah, that's a
so
good
you have
one.
The same issue.
Oh, definitely. She is hates how I like it much colder than the house than she
is
does.
Is that a
definitely.
Guy girl issue, a man woman issue?
Yeah, maybe.
100%.
Yeah.
Girls tend to like it hotter and they tend to get colder.
Some like it hot.
Easier. And guys, we schvitz, we get hotter quicker.
Yeah, most certainly.
I have the same thing with my wife, but it's more of an energy thing. She doesn't want us to run the air conditioning for the energy bill, and then I point to the Amazon bill, and then she points to making more money than me, and I shut up. That's really how the conversation goes at the Lugauer house.
Well, first of all, that is the worst place an argument can go.
Yeah.
One thing I've learned about an argument is it's got to stick with the argument. And you could say the same thing on sports talk radio, right?
Right, right.
Let's just stick with what we're arguing about.
Right.
Let's not turn it into 15 other things.
Yeah.
But if you are arguing with your significant other, that is the most important thing.
Right.
You got to keep to the argument, because if it veers off into other areas, you're driving off the road. I'm telling you right now.
No, definitely. You can't. And that's, you know, that's typical of, you know, the arguments will sometimes, you'll do something that you know kind of, like, you'll make a joke, or, like, I make jokes, we do things, and you can tell, like, I wasn't sure I was going to go over, but it went over pretty good. Like, I got a laugh out of it. It seemed, in the moment, pretty good. And then, like, 3 weeks later, in the middle of an argument, and she'll be like, well, and then on top of it, you did that. And I'm like, you laughed when I did that. And she'll be like, well, it's not funny right now. I didn't really, I was appeasing you. Like, you know, that's the kind of thing. But so, yeah, you want to stay on track.
You know what made me bring this up? There was something that happened during the last commercial break that actually made me think about this temperature war that I have, and I guess everybody has.
Yeah.
My son is with me. Jet came to the show today. We're going to the Met game tonight. Should be a lot of fun. And Jet looks up at me. I'm like, you doing all right? Everything all right? He's like, I am freezing.
Yeah.
Can I have a blanket? So I'm like, yeah, no problem. I look at the temperature, which I control, right?
Yeah.
If my wife is listening, she's going to crack up. I have completely abused this studio.
Oh.
It is 64 degrees inside the studio.
I even said it's a little bit chilly, but I like it. I'm all about it.
Yeah, because
I sweat like a maniac.
Because what we're doing is we love our wives.
Right.
This is our way to kind of lash out.
Yeah.
Like, I'll give you a great example. Jet, who's not listening because he has headphones on, is not allowed to say something about his brother, which is that he is a baby, because that bothers him.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You want to do it on the air? You can get it out of your system. But he always says,
that's a great offer.
Spence is a baby, Spence is a baby. He gets in a lot of trouble. So we tell him, you can't do it. Like, serious issue. Like, dude, you're going to go to sleep early.
Yeah.
We're going to take all this stuff away, wrestling figures away. Oh,
yep.
He always falls into the trap. So we're at work today. Spence isn't around. And I'm like, you can let it out. If you want to get it out of your system, kid, let it all out.
Right.
And so he's been spent. So you want to do it on the radio? Will that make you feel better?
No.
Wow.
Oh, look at that. Taking the high road.
He loves his brother.
There you go. Clearly.
He also knows mommy's listening.
Yeah, oh, he'd be in trouble.
What a good kid.
That's
what a great, yeah, you know what?
What a very good kid, even though the past 10 minutes, you guys have not done a good job in inspiring me to get married. All you're doing is just complaining and complaining.
What are you
doing?
That's not true.
That's
I
not
said
true at
me
all.
And my wife get along about everything except for one issue. Yeah. That should make you...
This is intimacy, pal. This is what it's about. It's about the good, the bad.
Yeah,
it's about
you guys are cherry
sharing
picking the
a
bad
life
stuff.
With someone.
No.
Well, because it's funnier than the good stuff.
Yeah, you want us to talk about how much we get along?
Yeah.
Well, you should pick one thing.
I still can't believe Jet turned down the opportunity to call his little brother a baby on the radio.
And
job.
I still can't believe your house is at 73 degrees. That's
73? It's like 76, bro.
I mean, that's what you do to people if you want to get information out of them. That's like torture. It's summer. It's 100 degrees out.
That's absurd.
That's kind of what it is. 73, 74, that's kind of where we keep it. I like it colder, but that's kind of where we, every once in a while, like that's, she'll walk into a room after being home from work, especially now with these new hours when I'm home during the day, and she'll walk in and she's like, "What? It's freezing in here." I'm like, and go raise it. I'm going to lose this argument. Just go do it. Go make it 74. That's okay.
Let's go to Mark on Long Island. How you doing today, Mark?
What's up, guys?
What's up, Mark?
I wanted to talk about how the Yankee style of play had changed earlier in the season for the better, and now they've regressed back into jump on the first pitch. Nobody's moving on bases. I mean, do we remember that Volpe was stealing bases earlier in the year?
But do we remember that Volpe was on base earlier this year? Like, he's not on base anymore. Isn't that part of the problem?
Mm-hmm. Not only that, they're down four and five runs every game. You're not going to be stealing bases when you're down four and five runs at every turn.
But how about the jumping on the first pitch? Yeah. How frustrating is it when they come up and they just, everyone, first pitch, boom, well, boom, work a pitcher well, a little bit.
A couple of things about that. So let's start with the stolen base thing, because obviously that got a lot of attention. Yankees had gone how many games in a row without a stolen
21.
Base?
21.
The New York Yankees right now, so take John Birdie out because he's not on the roster, he's hurt. Literally have one guy that steals bases.
Yeah.
One guy.
Yeah.
And that's Anthony Volpe.
Yep.
Anthony Volpe is struggling. His on-base percentage is down to .303. Like, he's not the guy he was in April.
Nope.
And in April, he was stealing bases because, dare I say it, he was on base. So the death of the Yankees stolen base has occurred because their best base stealer is never on base.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
That's a huge part of it. I mean, yeah, listen, they are. I think they've gotten more. Like, when we always talk about the Yankee roster needs to be more athletic, I honestly think defensively, in many ways, they have gotten more athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Verdugo, certainly. I think Soto's actually better defensively than people give him credit for. They've added Grisham playing a lot of center field. But specifically, just straight up speed and on the base path, that's still a roster that does not have enough of that. And they have one guy. But I also do think, because we saw Juan Soto steal the base, I also think you're not going to steal base. They've been losing they're down four or five runs. The starting pitching has been brutal.
Right.
You're not going to steal bases down four or five runs.
I think
they have many guys to do it, to your point.
It's a myriad of issues.
Yeah.
When you're trailing in games, you're less likely to steal. And B, I think the idea that the Yankees were the go-go Sox was greatly overblown.
Yeah.
They have one guy who steals bases.
No, of course.
You know who's second on the New York Yankees in stolen bases? Do you know?
Judge.
Aaron Judge and Juan Soto.
Yeah.
They're not stolen base guys.
No.
So it's really Anthony Volpe.
Yeah.
And you mentioned him earlier in the show as a guy that needs to get going. He may be the leader of the guy that needs to get going.
Oh, no doubt.
Because Volpe becoming that star, taking that leap in year two, was one of the keys to this season. And after a very fast start, I was ready to put him in the leadoff spot. I was there right before Aaron Boone was. He was right to take him out of the leadoff spot. He's not performing.
No.
It's a performance business. Steve's in Comac. What's up, Steve?
Hey, a lot to say. First, Lugie, you are the future. Big Mac, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
I got a couple of issues with you, Evan, who I listen to every day.
Go ahead.
You owe Big Mac the biggest. You should kiss him at 4 o'clock so everyone can see it on TV. How much you owe an apology for not having him in that book?
Well, I have apologized. I have apologized. But But what you're telling me is the only way the apology is official is if I take my lips and I place it on his cheek? Is that what you're telling me?
Who said anything about cheek?
That might be helpful. I don't know which cheek.
Yeah.
Well, where do you want it? Where do you want me to kiss him? His forehead? What do you want me to, his ass? Like, where do you want me to kiss him?
A nice forehead kiss is very endearing.
Would you go forehead, Steve? Would that be accepting to you if I give him the kind of a godly forehead kiss?
A lot of people that love Big Mac.
Okay.
Big Mac.
I have a large family,
Now, Big Mac, I'm the guy that called you about a month ago and said, the reason the Mets are so great is the catcher.
Yes.
Okay? Now,
now that we know each other.
The whole idea with you guys, which I'm not getting that you don't get, the Mets have Martinez and they have the catcher Alvarez playing together for the first time. And they've been on this crazy run. Lindor got moved to first. They have a huge, deep lineup. The back of the lineup's all hitting with Iglesias and Bader. Everybody's contributing, except we all hate McNeil. I agree. The Yankees on the flip side, and I don't know why you guys don't see it. Judge, obviously, one of the best I've ever seen in my life. So, who you're forgetting was the first baseman. Got off to a great start. He had like 8 home runs. Volpe had 5 or 6 home runs. Verdugo had a whole bunch of home runs. Their lineup was so long and good.
Yeah.
They were scoring a lot of runs.
Yeah.
Now they got hurt. It's a different team.
I definitely think that Anthony Rizzo not being the guy that we all assumed was going to have a bounce back season has hurt this lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly Giancarlo Stanton going on the IL. Look at their record since Giancarlo went on the IL. It's been a huge loss, but it's not just that. Alex Verdugo turning into... What is that phrase from Cinderella? Turning into a...
Pumpkin?
A pumpkin!
Pumpkin.
Alex Verdugo turning into a pumpkin.
Yeah.
Gleyber Torres being a pumpkin all season long.
Yep.
Anthony Volpe after his hot start.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that contribute to a lineup going as backwards as the Yankees. And then you factor in their starting pitching, which was so brilliant to start the year, is no longer brilliant.
Bingo.
Like, even with Gerrit Cole coming back, that's great. Marcus Stroman isn't pitching as well. Carlos Rodon is not pitching as well.
Anywhere near, not giving him a chance to even stay in games.
Clark Schmidt's not even in the rotation because of injury.
Hell, at this point, where's Cody Petit? Like, I mean,
you know where he is?
He's coming back.
He's doing national anthem standoffs before games. Wasn't he one of the guys doing that, Cody
Petit? I don't
know if
he was. I was in the 4th of July game. I don't think so because I don't think he's with the team.
No, I think the two guys doing it were on the injured list.
Oh, maybe, yeah. I don't know. But people, I mean, the reaction to that was funny because there was a lot of people on Twitter mad at Aaron Boone for not attempting to let them win the standoff.
Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding. This is what I get. You don't understand. This shill, it's one thing to be called the Yankee shill, right? That's fine. I'll deal with it. I've even leaned into it sometimes. But what's really frustrating about being a Yankee shill is everyone on earth who hates the Yankees and has ridiculous takes, they throw them my way.
You know what that
and
means?
And it just drives me nuts.
You know what that is?
What's that? You know
what you feel the wrath of? The raft of?
Wrath.
Every single human that has been a White House press secretary. Because when they're pissed at the president,
right? Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Like the late Tony Snow. When someone was angry at President Bush,
yes,
Tony Snow didn't do anything.
No,
but he's the press secretary,
right?
Can you believe George Bush mispronounced the word?
Yeah.
And then Tony, the late Tony Snow, had to stand there and be like, "What the hell do you want me to do? I didn't mispronounce the word, but I have to defend them because that's my job."
Yeah.
So that's what being the Yankee shill is. You are the White House press secretary
for Brian
of
Cashman.
The New York Yankees.
Yeah,
we're in it to win it.
Yeah,
we're in it to win it.
It's a tough job, but someone's got to do it.
And I do my best.
It's a long ass season.
Long ass season. All those things are right. Spot the lie, as someone I love and know very well used to say. Spot the lie.
Toll free number is 888-808-1019. If you know the lie, let them know.
Yeah.
We will argue about Pete Alonso because I am a defender of his, and Big Mac thinks he's a giant doofus.